Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for today's program, and I'm so very blessed and happy to be here with you. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, if you're listening to me on Friday, October 2nd, you'll know that it's the beautiful Feast of the Guardian Angels. And isn't it such a comfort to know that each and every one of us has his or her own personal guardian angel, specially appointed by God to be our guide, companion, and protector throughout our lives, helping us to get to heaven. Servant of God, Father John Anthony Harden, taught that from the moment of fertilization, we have received a guardian angel while in our mother's wombs. And in Father Harden's own words, he says, "It is here that we can affirm with certitude that every direct abortion is the work of the devil. As the one from whom human death first came into existence, the devil is a murderer." What this should mean in the pro-life movement is the rise of a widespread devotion to the guardian angels of the unborn to protect their innocent human charges against the machinations of the evil one. "I watch my vocabulary carefully," Father Harden added, "but I do not hesitate to say that those behind the global murder of millions of unborn children in the modern world are possessed by the devil," close quote. Well, some pretty sobering words there from Father Harden, but with a wonderful recommendation that we should appeal to the guardian angels of the unborn to help save their lives and end abortion. Now, unfortunately, not only are we dealing with the physical slaughter of unborn children on a massive scale in our day and age, but we're also contending with the spiritual annihilation of children, whose angels Christ himself said, "Behold the face of the Father." Jesus told us to take heed and not to despise any one of these little ones. The weaker a person is, the more care we must have for him or her. And oh, how this applies to the little children, born and preborn. We talk a lot about the widespread killing of the unborn on these shows, and rightly so. But we also need to talk a lot about the pervasive efforts being put forth by diabolical machinations that are designed to kill the souls of little children by robbing them of their beautiful and natural innocence, modesty, and purity. It's fitting we should discuss this given this Feast of the Guardian Angels, and because this too must be a foundational issue when we go to the polls in the upcoming elections. We need to find out where the candidates stand on transgender issues and the promotion to minors of puberty blockers and surgeries to change their God-given sex, where they stand on government-mandated sex education in schools, and what are they doing about the sexual exploitation of young children, which is occurring in all kinds of mainstream outlets and so-called arts and entertainment right now, with nary a batting of the eye. In some incredible prophecies given by Our Lady during the 15th and 16th centuries, the Mother of God told a Spanish nun in Quito, Ecuador, that in those times to come, the atmosphere of the world would be saturated with impurity, which, like a filthy sea, would engulf the streets and public places with incredible license. Innocence would scarcely be found in children, with their hearts becoming as dainty morsels to regale the devil. Well, for those who have eyes to see, we are living in those foretold agonizing times. And we most certainly need the help of the angels in this cosmic battle between good and evil, between life and death, and between purity and impurity. Before we get much further, let's offer a prayer together. Dear guardian angels of the unborn, you angels of peace who have been sent by Almighty God to ward off any evils which might befall all newly conceived children, we implore your help for the protection of the most vulnerable among us, the children in the womb. As you watch over these precious souls who have been created in the image and likeness of God, we unite our prayers of thanksgiving and praise with yours, thanking our Heavenly Father for the gift of their lives. We weep at the thought of so many unborn children who are not only denied the right to life, but who are also denied the possibility of being baptized. How you desire that these unborn souls who have been entrusted to your care be brought to birth so that you can begin to guide and instruct them to the faith. We too fervently wish to see the day when abortion is ended, and so we turn to you, O angels of God, to help us. We entrust to you, sweet heavenly spirits, all of the unborn children who are in danger of being aborted this day. We ask for divine intervention on their behalf so that each one of them may be spared from the violence of abortion. Jesus told us, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Through your powerful intercession and protection, may the day come quickly when our Lord's words are heeded by all people on the face of the earth. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Tuesday, a town in West Texas became the 15th municipality in the nation to declare itself a sanctuary city for preborn children. New Home, Texas, located less than 20 miles south of Lubbock, passed an ordinance that prohibits the act of abortion within the city limits. The bill provides both public and private enforcement mechanisms, with the public provision being dependent upon the reversal of Roe v. Wade. In recent months, there's been a growing movement for communities to take a public stand for the unborn. Late last year, the Indiana City of New Haven, located in Allen County, passed a pro-life resolution declaring the scientific fact that human life begins at conception and therefore must be protected and preserved. A study released by the Charlotte Lozier Institute has found that at least 2.4 million lives have been saved by the Hyde Amendment, legislation that bars the use of taxpayer dollars from going to fund abortion. The original amendment was passed on September 30th in 1976 and was named for Illinois Congressman Henry Hyde. Since then, it has been added to every appropriations bill and in the past has been widely supported by both parties. In more recent years, however, pro-abortion politicians have begun to fight against the amendment, and it's become a campaign topic in the upcoming elections. Democratic presidential candidate and Catholic Joe Biden has denounced his past support for the Hyde Amendment, believing now that taxpayers should foot the bill for women who desire to kill their unborn children. In an interview obtained by the Catholic news agency, Cardinal Raymond Burke, a canon lawyer and former prefect of the Church's High Court, said that pro-choice Catholic candidates, including Joe Biden, should not receive Holy Communion because of their support for abortion. "This is not a political statement. I don't intend to get involved in recommending any candidate for office," Burke said. "I simply want to state that a Catholic may not support abortion in any shape or form because it is one of the most grievous sins against human life and has always been considered to be intrinsically evil, and therefore, to any way support the act is a mortal sin." When asked specifically about Biden, Cardinal Burke spoke of the presidential candidate's promise to support policies that make abortion available to everyone in the widest possible form and to repeal any restrictions on abortions that have been put in place. "I would tell Mr. Biden not to approach Holy Communion out of charity toward him," Burke said, "because that would be a sacrilege and a danger to the salvation of his own soul." And finally, around 24 unborn children were killed this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Several women from Kentucky, several from right here in Monroe County, as well as women from various other Hoosier counties, came to 421 South College Avenue to have the lives of their unborn babies violently ended. Deb Nakatola was back in town to perform the surgical and chemical abortions. "There is hope that a few babies have been saved from abortion this past week, as prayer warriors and sidewalk advocates have been on hand every day from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m., praying and reaching out with love, hope, and help to the women as they went in. Be sure to sign up for an hour or two to pray there at 421 South College Avenue by going to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, back in episode number 76 of Pro Life to the Max, which again can be found at wombradio.com, we discussed the sexually explicit Pepsi Super Bowl 54 halftime show that was broadcast into the homes of families nationwide this past February 2nd, the feast of the presentation of our Lord and the purification of Our Lady. Now, in fairness, this shouldn't have been a big surprise because ugly and raunchy Super Bowl halftime shows have been the mainstay for years now, unfortunately. But this year's halftime show really pushed the envelope. Not only that, the featured performers were mothers themselves, and one even brought her own 11-year-old daughter on stage with her to participate in the foulness. Immediately following the Racy show, Reverend Franklin Graham said, "I don't expect the world to act like the church, but our country has had a sense of moral decency on primetime television in order to protect children. We see that disappearing before our eyes. It was demonstrated tonight in the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show with millions of children watching. This exhibition was Pepsi showing young girls that sexual exploitation of women is okay. With the exploitation of women on the rise worldwide, instead of lowering the standard, we as a society should be raising it," he said. To give you some perspective of how much things have changed, the first three Super Bowl halftime shows from 1967 to 69 featured top marching bands from different colleges. Throughout the 70s and 80s, there were other talented performers, none of whom needed to use scandalous, hypersexualized acts or lyrics to provide good entertainment. Things started to go awry, however, in the early 1990s, and it's been going downhill ever since. Seems to me that the first obvious solution to this problem is for families not to watch these shows until they are cleaned up. We also have to make sure that sports has not become our god. Turning off the television and computer screens is ultimately what is needed. Reparation must be made for these grave sins. And I don't know if the coronavirus was permitted by God to help wake us up from all the depravity in our culture, but I think a case could certainly be made for it. I've heard a fair amount of people make the comment that it is interesting how the coronavirus seems more or less to spare children. Could it be, they wonder, that children have suffered enough already, having survived the abortion and contraceptive mentality, and then so many having been robbed of much of their innocence and purity? Well, something to ponder. Well, unfortunately, just a few days before that disgraceful January Super Bowl halftime show, there was another appalling attack on the innocence of children. And you've probably heard about this in the news recently. It concerns a disturbing movie entitled Cuties, and the name itself is ominous. Cuties is basically a softcore child pornography film that premiered on January 23rd, 2020 at the Sundance Film Festival. We're only hearing about it now because it was released internationally on Netflix on August 19th. The movie depicts young 11-year-old girls performing explicit dances for adult audiences. They are scantily clothed and there is nudity. Many who have suffered through the film say it is far worse than anything we can imagine. And they are calling for authorities to investigate Netflix because the movie lawfully defines as pedophilia. Conservative journalist Matt Walsh says that Cuties is part of a push to normalize pedophilia in our country. Lila Rose, the foundress of Live Action, thinks that a case can be made that the filmmakers broke U.S. laws on child pornography. So this is an issue that every American citizen should in earnest be concerned about. Now, one of the most outrageous things that has been said by its producer, even, is that Cuties is a film that comments on the hypersexualization of pre-adolescent girls, and it's designed to raise awareness of such. So apparently, in order to raise awareness of the hypersexualization of children, they needed to exploit and hypersexualize the 11-year-old actresses themselves. Shamefully, the Italian Bishops' Conference bought into the lie. According to a review found online that they made of the film, they said, "Cuties is a hard but educational movie." They said that those who have criticized it have not seen it or have really limited themselves to the poster. Otherwise, they have not understood it or have looked at it with the wrong eyes, the Bishops' Conference said. Oh, pray and sacrifice much for priests and bishops. In the church-approved apparitions of La Salette, whose feast day was just celebrated on September 19th, Our Lady said, "The chiefs, the leaders of the people of God, have neglected prayer and penance, and the devil has bedimmed their intelligence. They have become wandering stars, which the old devil will drag along with his tail to make them perish. The priest, ministers of my son, have become cesspools of impurity." Our Lady asked for generous souls to respond to this calamity with constant prayer and magnanimous sacrifices, because so many of our shepherds' eternal souls are at stake, and they are leading others to the same fate. Well, the Italian Bishops' Conference wasn't the only organization to give Cuties a thumbs up. Not surprisingly, there were many critics in the mostly perverted film industry who joined the chorus of praise. Here's what one critic wrote about the movie. Cuties is a thoughtful look at the intricacies of girlhood in the modern age. It's a coming-of-age film that confronts its themes with poignancy and nuance. The daily British newspaper, The Telegraph, likewise lauded the film, giving it 4 out of 5 stars and calling it a provocative powder keg for an age terrified of child sexuality. An age terrified of child sexuality. What does this kind of talk remind you of but old Alfred Kinsey and his peddling of the children or sexual beings from the moment of birth rubbish? And don't forget the abuse that Alfred Kinsey and his confreres inflicted upon infant, toddler, and pre-adolescent children during their so-called experiments, something that the Kinsey Institute and Indiana University have yet to be held accountable for. Every sexual perversion, including pedophilia, that Alfred Kinsey and his institute had hoped and dreamed would become a reality is nearly complete. This Cuties film is a testimony to this sad fact. Now, not every film critic took a strong liking to the film. There were those who could not bring themselves to denounce it, but they stated that there were parts of the film that they just couldn't bring themselves to watch. That should tell us a lot right there, coming from those whose views on sexuality are very liberal. And it really is unfathomable to me of how the Italian Bishops' Conference, nor any of the others who support the movie, could not at least see how the film could be used to groom children for sex trafficking. Or is that not even a big deal to them? Pray, pray, pray for those souls who are so misguided. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, "But he that shall scandalize one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Truly, our country and our world are in need of a major revival and repentance, especially when it comes to sins against purity. We are so blessed to have the Immaculate Conception, the Queen of Purity, as the patroness of our land. And we know that she desires to help us in extraordinary ways. So we just need to keep turning to her with confidence and never tiring of doing so. Praying and doing penance are foundational. And then upon that bedrock, we must build a culture of life and purity. We should be contacting our government leaders with our concerns about what is going on, especially in regards to the release of this detestable movie, and ask them to investigate it. I've already gotten a couple of responses from U.S. Senator Mike Braun and U.S. House of Representative member Trey Hollingsworth. And I was impressed by Mike Braun's letter, and I'd like to read you a part of his reply. He wrote, "Thank you for contacting me regarding the movie Cuties. First, let me say that child pornography has no place in any civilized society. To the extent that the content in the film violates federal and state laws against child pornography and distribution of child pornography, the creators and distributors of the movie should be held criminally responsible. Should the content of the film prove to violate the law, I have full confidence that the Department of Justice will prosecute those responsible to the fullest extent of the law. In the meantime, one of the most powerful ways to push back against a company which engages in reprehensible behavior is to boycott the company's product. I encourage all Netflix users concerned with the production and distribution of the materials in Cuties to cancel their subscription." Mike has got it right. The first thing that everyone needs to do is to cancel their Netflix subscription if they have one. Then we need to encourage our families and friends to do so and explain to them the reason why. If we refuse to act on this critical issue, child pornography, pedophilia, and sex trafficking will wedge its way more deeply into the psyches of the American people, becoming openly acceptable and considered a normal part of the culture. Just like those Super Bowl halftime shows and the plethora of other endless amusements that are out there, Christians and every person of goodwill must refuse to indulge themselves and encourage others to do the same. We must not be afraid to have these conversations with our family members, co-workers, and friends, encouraging one another to monitor very closely what we watch and take in. Our Lord said, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away." It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fires of hell. And guess what the very next verse is after this one? See that you not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father. That's Matthew chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And since God has seen fit to plant us right here in Bloomington, let's make an effort to pray every day for the closing of the Kinsey Institute there at Indiana University and the conversion and repentance of all who work there. We've said over and over again on past shows that this place is ground zero for the sexual revolution. Soviet leader and Communist Party head Nikita Khrushchev once said, "We do not have to invade the U.S. We will destroy you from within. We will take America without firing a single shot." The communists are succeeding pretty well with their plan, aren't they? The goal of communism is the destruction of morality and religion. Its attacks against the innocence of women and children are most notable and done on purpose. Communism denies that there is a soul, that there is a conscience. And we can so easily see how the seeds of communism, the anti-word, have been sown throughout our nation, just waiting to bear the rotten fruit of a final tyrannical revolution. Alfred Kinsey, with his socialist and communist ideas, did so much to undermine and damage people's healthy views of the beautiful and God-given gift of human sexuality and marriage. And let's never tire of reminding people that he used very young children in his experiments. And as of yet, no criminal investigations have ever been launched into this. Kinsey appears to be succeeding in getting society to believe and accept that children are sexual beings and that pedophilia and child pornography are normal. Again, God has placed us here in Bloomington or the surrounding area. Let's pray fervently for a miracle to occur right there on the campus of IU so that the Kinsey Institute will be shut down once and for all, and that all those who have had a part in it will repent and be made whole and new through the blood of the innocent lamb. Well, we've had the honor of interviewing Dr. Ruth Reisman, the foremost authoritative researcher on the work of Alfred Kinsey and his institute, a few times on these programs. One of the things that really got Dr. Reisman committed to exposing the lies and evils of Kinsey and Planned Parenthood was because her daughter came home from public school one day with a Planned Parenthood brochure in sex education. The children had been told not to show their parents the pamphlet. Thankfully, her daughter wanted her to see it. Dr. Reisman was shocked at the content and images. That was back in 1974, and things have only gotten worse for our children since then. Planned Parenthood to this day continues working hard to infiltrate public and even parochial school systems. They have developed their own curriculum from kindergarten up through 12th grade. Here's one example of how bad it is. In its course designed for five-year-olds, discussion on unplanned pregnancy, abortion, and gender identity is encouraged. Every sexual perversion is eventually explicitly taught to children and teens, including sadomasochism. These Planned Parenthood comprehensive sexuality education programs are so vulgar that I can't even read to you the filth they desire to impart upon our children. You don't have to take my word about just how bad it is. A former Planned Parenthood sexual health educator named Monica Klein gives an eye-opening testimonial about it. Klein says that at the beginning of her training, a Planned Parenthood director told her that we have to approach this and look at our audience and realize that they've probably done anything and everything related to sex. Klein says the instruction she was given was very explicit and that she was to relay this same material to young men, women, and children. She says that in her time with Planned Parenthood, girls as young as 10 years old would come in looking for help with injuries or diseases that occurred as a result of their embracing these risky and risque behaviors. Klein says that Planned Parenthood teaches students risk reduction rather than teaching them about healthy relationships. She was told not to instruct young teens to abstain from sex. Klein does not hesitate to say that Planned Parenthood sex education grooms students for promiscuity, which then leads to abortion, STDs, and a host of other problems. Planned Parenthood's view of our children is very skewed, Klein said. They believe that this is what our children want. They don't see our children as victims, but as willing participants. Well, by the grace of God, Monica Klein came to the realization that these comprehensive sex education programs, like the ones Planned Parenthood pushes, cause untold harm to children and families. After leaving Planned Parenthood, Klein began to devote her life to equipping parents and families with the resources and skills they need to strengthen family trust and confidence and to develop healthy relationships by practicing virtue. She says that in the work that she did with Planned Parenthood, serving the marginalized only meant meeting people where they were at and just leaving them there. She knew that there was something more. And she found it when she became a Christian and realized that God's plan for the gift of human sexuality had something far greater to offer. No doubt the prayers and fasting of many pro-lifers helped to purchase the graces that Monica Klein needed to leave behind the ugly and crass ideas about human sexuality that Planned Parenthood was pushing and instead embrace the goodness and beauty of purity. Yet another important reason to participate in 40 Days for Life campaigns. Well, time is running down here, and so I'd like to continue this discussion into the next program by delving further into these radical sex ed programs that are being shoved onto our children through the innocuous-sounding comprehensive sexuality education programs. This is actually an agenda to accomplish the systematic sexual indoctrination of children, not only in our own country, but throughout the world. Planned Parenthood, of course, is at the forefront, but there are many others involved, too. The sexualization of children means more money for Planned Parenthood, of course, as they become customers for contraception, abortion, STI testing and treatment, HPV vaccinations, and now hormone therapy for attempting to change one's biological sex. It's a vicious cycle and one that must be broken in order to build up a culture of life. There is no doubt that Almighty God cherishes and has such a special love for children. Their innocence and purity shine forth with such simplicity, making them like the angels. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Let the little children come to me and hinder them not, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Yes, indeed, the enemy of souls would love nothing more than to dine on the tasty morsels of such pure souls. So we must do all within our power to stop the insane attack on the purity and innocence of our children. If, as Father Hardin said, we should have recourse to the guardian angels of the unborn to help stop abortion, then we should also seek the aid of the guardian angels of all the children to help stop the hypersexualization of these most innocent ones. No doubt we underutilize these beautiful heavenly spirits who have been given a lot of power by Almighty God. As of this day, let's make a commitment to change that. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.